Welcome back to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline, and our special guest today is Bob Costas, who's going around 1,000 miles an hour with his hair on fire, but that would be a good Halloween costume. Bob, do you have a special costume for today?
You know, I have not worked out a costume for tonight. I don't know if I should go out on the prowl this evening. My kids are too old for Halloween, so maybe I'll just stay off the streets.
Well, I was at Gary McCord's costume party on Saturday night, and Peter Costas dressed up as Mr. Irvin, being completely impaled by a stingray all the way through, with blood on the front and the hook on the back. It was very special.
That's extremely sensitive, isn't it?
Very sensitive. I thought to myself, Peter Costas, that's my kind of party man.
You know, I understand. Someone told me once that his email is Peter, not Bob, or Peter at notbob.com or something like that.
He's kind of sensitive about he's pretty sensitive about that, but anyway, we had another interesting comment from Charles Barkley from Thursday about this culture where it seems you can have one or two big games and suddenly you're a superstar.
Well, everything is overhyped.
Trying to compare people to Michael Jordan. I love Dwayne Wade. I love LeBron. But 3 years into the league, Michael Jordan wasn't even Michael Jordan. You know. They're like, I'm with ESPN. Like, our job is to try to make people watch our games. But anybody who gets on television and say LeBron James and Dwayne Wade as good as Michael Jordan, they're full of it.
What do you think about that, Bob? Do you think that we jump too much on the bandwagon and jump too quickly off of it?
Absolutely. Everything is overhyped. Charles is 100% right. These programs have to justify themselves, not only to try to gin up ratings, but they've got so much time to fill that everything has to be analyzed and overanalyzed, and you can't even allow for the randomness of things. The recent baseball postseason, yeah, it's exciting, yeah, it's interesting, yeah, there are some legitimate analytical points that can be made, but some of it is just, hey, that's what happens in a handful of baseball games. But if a baseball analyst says that, then maybe he's out of a job. But how else would you explain the team with the 13th best record in baseball winning the World Series? And teams that they couldn't possibly compete with over 162, either not even making the playoffs or bowing out early. Sometimes the answer is, you know, stuff just kind of happens. But people don't like to say that because it diminishes their own importance and they've got time to fill.
Well, and you've been one who's criticized the playoff format in baseball as diminishing the importance of the divisional pennant itself, but on the other hand, you know, teams with barely 500 records are making it in the NFL. Why do you think the NFL playoff format is more legitimate?
The NFL playoff is more legitimate because a team that has a weak record as a division winner, relatively weak, or that sneaks in as a wild card, has a shot at the Super Bowl, but it's a long shot. Even the Steelers, who managed to win as a wild card last year, they clearly had to travel a much more difficult road. You got to play the extra game. You always have to play the highest remaining seed, and you have to play all your games on the road in a system where home field advantage is 100% because each round is only one game. Now, you contrast that with baseball, where a team could be 162-0, and if they face a weak division winner or a wild card winner in the playoffs, the only advantage they get is the extra home game, and the first round, the only round that's guaranteed to include the best teams and the weakest teams, is a best-of-five crapshoot. Anybody knows that while an upset is possible in any sport, an upset is much more likely in a small cluster of games in baseball than it is in any other sport. It's entirely possible for the Tampa Bay Devil Rays to win a given 3 out of 5 series from the 1927 Yankees. And so it shouldn't surprise people that if a team is good enough to make the playoffs, even if they're not quite the best team in the league, that team will win a certain number of series against better teams. That's the nature of baseball. So that's why over the past many years you've had more wild card teams win the World Series than have won the Super Bowl in the entire history of the Super Bowl. And it seems like every year at least one of the World Series participants is a wild card team. I have nothing against the wild card concept, but they've got to make it like the NFL, where there is a significant distinction between being the best team over the course of the year and being a team that barely qualifies for the playoffs. The Indianapolis Colts had a huge advantage last year. They squandered it, but they had a first-round bye. and they would have had home field for every game they played. So they had a clear path to the Super Bowl. The Steelers had a very steep hill to climb, and they happened to climb it. I got no problem with it when it turns out that way, because it's set up in an intelligent fashion.
And they earned it.
They earned it, yeah.
Well, let's stick with baseball. We're talking with Bob Costas, and Bob, you know, we probably need 3 hours to cover
the basics with you. I'll stay till the top of the hour. It's obvious you've prepared some stuff here, and I respect that, so we'll stay till the top.
You are the best. You are the best. Well, I've got an interesting quote from you from a few years ago about baseball's leadership.
The owner's dealings with the players, especially in the Marvin Miller era, but even continuing with Don Fear and Gene Orson, have been monumentally incompetent and often blatantly dishonest. This works to the owner's disadvantage now, should they ever see the light and come to the players with a fair and reasonable proposal that shows some vision, because they've still got an enormous credibility gap. But just because they've been wrong before and the players have always been right, doesn't mean that continues perpetually into the future. Even DiMaggio's streak eventually came to an end.
That is from about 6 years ago on Charlie Rose, and I'm interested in this cross comparison. We've talked about, and Charles believes that David Stern is the best commissioner in sports. I am not a huge fan of Bud Selig, but he was proud to say last week a new collective bargaining agreement, much like the NFL, way ahead of time, that they have had labor peace. What is going on today? In those 6 years since you had that interview, what has transpired that has either confirmed your opinion of baseball's management or improved it?
Well, my opinion of Bud Selig and the situation in baseball overall has definitely improved since 1999, 2000, 2001. I think Bud has to be given credit for doing some things right. Baseball's revenues have never been higher. He did manage to get two consecutive collective bargaining agreements without a work stoppage, and in the case of the most recent one, there wasn't even the remote threat of a work stoppage, so you didn't have all the negative publicity surrounding the game. These are significant steps forward in a sport whose whole labor history is just filled with constant turmoil and work stoppages and whatnot, so he gets credit for that. And within those deals, you had improved revenue sharing and the luxury tax, which certainly doesn't cure all of baseball's economic ills, but it reduces them. They don't have competitive parity, but they have something much closer to it than they had 5 or 6 years ago. And when you couple that with teams like Oakland and Minnesota doing a better job of using their limited resources, you have not the kind of parity that you have in the NFL or even potentially in the NBA, but something much closer to parity in baseball. And one advantage, even though I've been critical in some respects of the postseason format that baseball has, one advantage that three divisions and a wild card gives you is that teams can occasionally catch lightning in a bottle. If they're in a so-so division, they might win it, or they might sneak in every now and then as a wild card, and once they get there, they might luck out and win a best 3 out of 5 against a team that's really stronger than they are. So all these things, which have all happened under Bud Selig's watch, including interleague play, there's probably too much of it, but generally it's a pretty good concept, all these things have been to baseball's benefit, and Bud has to get credit for them. On the other hand, there's still some things I have problems with, like how in the heck can you attach home field advantage in the World Series to the outcome of the All-Star game? That's such an obvious and cheap and cheesy gimmick, and everybody sees through it. It's done for one reason, which is to try to minimally improve Fox's rating on a Tuesday night in July, so I don't think there's much integrity to that, and there are other things that I could be critical of, but overall...
Bob, let's talk about ratings. Let's go to the heart of it, too. Let's go to the heart of media today and the thing that compromises journalistic ethics and the producers' decisions on what to and what not to cover. That first game of the World Series, we had Eric Burns on the show with his wonderful haircut, I might say, mentioning that baseball needs controversy, that the ratings were at an all-time low. What's wrong with baseball?
I don't think there's anything, or at least not much, fundamentally wrong with baseball. But the culture has changed. It's a big event culture, a short attention span culture. And a baseball playoff series takes 7 games to play out. It's not one game like football at a time of the year when people tend to be watching television. If you compare World Series ratings to NBA playoff ratings, they're still much better. Even though it's at a time of the year when school is in session, talking about baseball's postseason, and when the other networks have launched their new programming. So if you look at it in the context of modern television, it's not so bad. Are the World Series ratings lower than they've ever been? Yes. But do those World Series games win the ratings each of those nights? Are they the most watched shows on television? Yes, they are. And if you cobble together all the television ratings over the course of the year with all the games that are on locally, all the games that are on Fox or ESPN or on superstations, many, many more people are watching baseball, and just as importantly, many, many more people are attending baseball games than ever before. In the so-called golden era of baseball, when you and I were kids, a team considered itself successful if they drew a million, wildly successful if they drew 2 million. Now almost every team routinely draws 2 million, and many teams draw 3 or even close to 4 million, plus you've got all the additional marketing and other sources of revenue, all of which has happened under Selig's watch, so you got to give him credit.
You got to give him credit, and we will continue to talk a little bit about baseball, but the larger theme with the Bob Costas on the show, you don't get him every day, certainly on Sirius Satellite. Instead of going in the direction of Mike and the Mad Dog and Howard Stern, we're going to talk about history, the impact of history itself, and a culture that refuses to study history. Here's Chris Berman.
At least when I was 12, 13, 14, okay, of the not all the games were on TV, even when we were in our 20s, 20 years ago, but let's go with baseball for a minute, because football was on TV, but baseball, even unless you're in the biggest markets, if you go back to when we were growing up, you'd have the Saturday and Sunday games and maybe one evening game on TV. The rest was on the radio or you read the paper. So not all of it was there in front of you. A, you had to work a lot harder to kind of get the information. I mean, I remember growing up a Willie Mays San Francisco Giant fan, Nick, in Connecticut, and therefore if the Giants played on Tuesday and had a candlestick, we got the score in Thursday morning's paper.
We'll be right back with Bob Costas, talking about history, talking about the ability to make the bigger lessons in life come out on the drama stage of sport. We'll be right back. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline.